B-Pod Studios.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to go into uncharted waters. We're about to go inside the bubble, but before we do that, I'll tell you the 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Let's go in the bubble, Bob.
Do we have to hold our breath or anything before we do this? I don't know what? I'm going to sanitize my hands.
I'm going to spray the phone with my Mrs. Myers clean day, whatever this is. Anyway, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by the Baxter. Dumpster and a bag of yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. From Inquire.com, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, our good friend Keith Pompey. Keith, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing okay.
Great.
Doing okay. How long have you been in the bubble?
Well, it's weird. I've been in Orlando since, for 3 days. And what I'm doing is I go in the bubble on game days.
Oh.
So basically, yeah, I'm staying right outside. And they have, two stages where certain reporters, if you don't want to go in the bubble, you just go in there, you take a test, and you basically go in there on game day. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Now, as far as contact with players, is everything through teleconferencing, basically?
Kind of, yeah. Everything's through teleconferencing.
All right. Now, how are you handling the your own version of isolation?
It's fine. I mean, it's cool. Like, I have a nice little spot down here, and where what I decided to do is, instead of going out to eat, I have a kitchen and all that. So I went grocery shopping and I've been, basically I'm living at home.
Oh, that's awesome. What's Keith Pompey making in the kitchen?
Well, yesterday I made the worst steak in the world. I blame it on the stove and I blame it on the Publix where I went to because it was awful. It tastes like cardboard, but you know how it is when your food is bad, you eat it. When other people's food is bad, you try not to eat it. So,
okay. I can vouch for not having your home kitchen advantage. I can definitely vouch for that. Keith, we've been batting around the Sixers all day. We're really excited about the season getting underway on Saturday. We can't wait for it. We've been impressed with probably the person we've been most impressed with has been Matisse Thybulle. I mean, Ben Simmons did what he did in the first two games. Joel Embiid only played the one game. Tobias Harris has looked good. But Matisse Thybulle has really caught our attention. To me, I don't know if Brett Brown's going to use the eight games as more of an evaluation period, but I think Matisse is at least flirting with the idea of making himself a starter, at least earning some minutes. What are you making of Matisse so far?
I mean, I like Matisse a lot. I really do. I think that if Brett Brown has one thing that will probably prohibit Matisse from starting, it may be some of his shot selection. You know what I mean? But when you look at it, I think that if the Shake Milton experiment at the one and Ben at the four doesn't really work out, I can actually see them sliding Matisse in there. You know, just because, Matisse brings on an extra defender. You know, the thing about Matisse is, it's one of those things, 2 days ago, he had a horrible offensive game. But on the defensive side of the ball, he was spectacular. And it made you forget about what he couldn't do offensively. I mean, he had one steal, he took it to the other end and had a dunk. He blocked a shot, he stripped another guy. I mean, Matisse is averaging 2.66 steals a game. So he's electrifying. And I think he deserves a lot of minutes, but I think just thinking of how Brett Brown thinks, it's some of the shot selection that he has could be the only thing prohibit him from going in the starting lineup, if they want to get rid of Shake and the Ben experiment.
Keith, how do you see Brett Brown handling these eight games leading into the playoffs? Because I was listening to somebody nationally the other day. And I think they're in the bubble. And they said, a lot of these teams are going to just use it as a feel out period, get their legs under, and they're not really looking to change their seating or whatever it may be. Do you see the Sixers doing that, Brett Brown doing that, looking and seeing what he has more so than actually ramping up to play hard games and win?
I agree with that. I mean, he actually said that about a couple weeks ago. He said that he's going to, use these seating games as trying to, see who's going to be in his rotation. Right now, I think he'll play probably 10 guys, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to do the process of elimination, based on play. for most. Now, I think, you know, what we'll see is we'll probably see, you know, Matisse, Furkan, Al Horford as like primary guys. And then, you know, it's going to come down to Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson III, you know, and, you know, just see who, you know, if these guys can battle for that ninth spot, you know, right now. But the way it looks, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, if Furkan continues to struggle, he could like lose his role to someone because, you know Brett more than most. And he's like, yes, he wants people to make shots, but you have that in Shake Milton and Tobias. But if he also wants people to make stops, and it just seems like Furkan has been struggling mightily at that end, you know, in these three scrimmage games.
Keith, more specifically, how are they going to handle Embiid coming up? Like Brett said, he'll be back. He's playing Saturday. We all, you know, outsider looking in, you say, all right, first game, I guess he's going to play a regular rotation. You and I, being around the team as much as we were, to me, it reeks of easing him in 2 minutes. Do you see that happening with him? Like, all right, he'll get 18 this game. Then we're going to ramp it to 20 a few games later. Do you think they're going to do it that way?
I think they will. I mean, especially, you know, you're talking about this calf. You know, they're saying calf tightness, you know, is one of those things where, you know, you have to be careful with it. I mean, the bad thing is that he wasn't able to basically gel in game with his teammates. The good thing is he'll have 4 days off to rest, actually more than 4 days off to rest it. But I think, yeah, like when you're talking about trying to figure out a rotation, it's one of those things where you're probably going to ease them in a little bit. Now, the one thing is, I do believe that he does need to play with these guys. They have to figure stuff out, especially with Ben Simmons. I mean, because I think the spacing with both of these guys occupying the post, you know, they have to get in a rhythm. They have to, you know, because they're the two most important players on the team. So you want to have them out there, but at the same time, you have to be careful because if you don't have them at his full strength in the postseason, I mean, that could be an early exit for the Sixers.
Speaking with Keith Pompey, Inquirer.com. More on that. When I watched that first, you know, granted it was like 6.5 minutes of Shake being the point guard with Joel and Ben Simmons on the floor at the same time. I wasn't overly impressed, but I wasn't disappointed. It was the first time they did it. How much work do you think they have to do, and how long do you think it'll take before those guys can all get on the same page?
It's going to take a minute. I mean, here's the thing. So, to me, you know, when they said Ben Simmons, I mean, we talked before, y'all. Like, when they said Ben Simmons is going to be the power forward, I'm like, okay, well, he's just going to basically do the same thing that he's been doing before. You know what I mean? He's going to have the ball. He's going to do whatever. Now, my problem is sometimes when Shake brings the ball up, everyone in the gym knows that his initial pass is most of the time going to go to Ben. So teams were like, I saw where in the first game and teams were jumping at, you know, Ben was attracting the crowd, right? So it made it a little bit tougher. Then I also saw in that first game where Joel was like running from 3-point line to 3-point line. And a lot of people says, okay, he's being lazy, he's out of condition. But Joel, I noticed when he does that a lot of times is to create space, his own space. He's a better three-point shooter than Ben. So what he does is he tries to get spacing. They have to correct that. You know what I mean? There are two things that they have to correct. They got to get the spacing down, and they got to stop making it so easy for teams to defend it. Because, and if you notice, when they went up against Oklahoma City was extremely physical with Shake. And I think teams are going to do that, because they're going to try to get the ball out of his hands before he can get it in Ben Simmons' hands.
Keith, the other thing is, when you watched Ben Simmons play in that first game, that style of play that Ben Simmons had, that's the guy shooting from the outside, the two threes that he shot, the one that he made, as aggressive as he always is. That guy, I think, is an MVP candidate. That's been my point on developing his game to use that outside shot. The guy that played through game two and then the little bit of game three, really, that's a guy that I think is more the perennial all-star. Do you think it is that jump shot that is taking away the next step of his career? And do you think we will see it when everything does start up and start to count?
I think you're going to have to see it when everything goes up and starts to count. Because, see, at this particular time, like, you know, you talk to people around the league and they're all saying, yo, we want Ben shooting the ball. Continue, stay out there, shoot. We're going to leave you wide open and you're going to shoot until he consistently starts making it. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, you know, he took it twice the first game. He attempted it twice the first game, and he hasn't done it afterwards, right? They didn't even really go to him afterwards. And so, with basically, they were playing 4-on-5 on those possessions. So teams are going to leave him open. He's going to have to drain it just to keep him honest. But again, it's not going to be something overnight because they're going to live with it. They're going to be like, oh, okay, shoot it. Okay, you made it. Like, he's going to have to make a whole bunch of them for it to get different, be different. But to me, the second game, there was a play where Ben got the ball. He comes down. He does a he dribbles the ball behind his back. He goes in the lane, and he kicks it out to Shake. And Shake buries the three. To me, that's when the 76ers are at their best because Shake stretches the floor. You know, Ben, when he gets out there and he dribbles, he's, you know, he's a locomotive, so to speak. And I think that's when the Sixers are at their best, and that's when Ben's at his best and Shake. So, you know what I mean? It's like a tough one right now with the Sixers.
Well, last thing I want to ask you, at least about Ben and the shooting thing. We got into this debate a little bit, I think it was yesterday, about how the bench and his teammates react when Ben does shoot. Do you think that's something they need to stop, or do you think that's something Ben doesn't really care about? They wouldn't do it unless, you know, he was fine with it.
I think they need to stop it in a way because, you know, if you remember, what was it, in the beginning of, was it this year's been so long. So the beginning of this year, this preseason, when he hit the three against the team from China.
Guangzhou Long Lions.
Yeah, and everyone was excited and how Ben was embarrassed by it and this and that. And what it does is it just brings so much attention to him, and he doesn't like it. You know what I mean? So I think that just stop, like, you know, and Cooney's been around. Cooney's seen it. I mean, the preseason, not in preseason, pregame, you'll go out there and Ben Simmons is draining threes. The problem is he just doesn't do it in the game.
Right.
So, you know, you just got to make it as normal as possible and stop bringing, you know, this attention to it because then all of a sudden he shies away from it.
All right. Now, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I hear you. And I get that that's the impression. Now, is that a report from Keith Pompey of Inquirer.com that Ben Simmons doesn't like it, or is that the impression Keith Pompey gets?
I mean, I've never asked him that, but you can just look at it and tell. I mean, you know, so, I mean, you can look at it and tell, like, Ben's the type of guy, like, you know, when, all right, put it this way, like, last year, preseason, he was asked about shooting three-pointers, right? He got a little testy a little bit.
Oh, he did.
Because people kept asking questions.
Yeah.
But so, you know what I mean? This ain't like clickbait or this ain't like breaking headlines. You know what I mean? I don't want to say like soundbite, Keith Pompey did this and did that, but I mean, you know, anybody can see it, and you can tell, like, it's the attention. Like, he just doesn't like all that extra attention on that shot. Now, one can argue that, you know, you and your camp bring it out because you guys are providing these videos and getting people psyched up about it. But then all of a sudden comes the questions like, well, how come you're not doing it more? You know what I mean? So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I just think that just go about it as if, like, you would do it for Furkan, for Matisse, for Glenn Robinson III, and just play.
Keith, do you think we'll see a difference in Brett Brown coaching in-game in that we could term it as he's coaching for his job?
I mean, we could, man. I think there was a point last year in the playoffs where, you know, you have to say Brett did a pretty good job. Nick Nurse did a better job towards the end. But, you know, Brett tried. I think that we'll see a lot, like, when the playoffs come. But, yeah, you would have to say that Brett Brown is going to try to do whatever he can to coach for his job this year. I mean, he's going to play. I mean, I think certain guys are going to get a quick hook. You know, he's not going to have time for guys missing assignments and stuff like this. We're talking about these role players. And they're going to do different schemes. I mean, you know, Brett has, the one thing is, you know, Brett has admitted He says for during the quarantine, it was one of those things where him and his coaches got together and they've been breaking stuff down all year. You know, you're not going to really see it. You didn't see it in the scrimmages. You probably won't see it in the seeding games, you know, and but you're going to start seeing some differences and seeing some, like, some coaching tactics, you know, in the playoff game.
Keith, last thing for me. Are you going to do any bass fishing while you're in Orlando? That seems to be the big thing.
Nah, bro. I'm going to go to the supermarket, and I'm going to buy some bass or whatever, and I'm going to cook the nastiest bass ever and tell y'all that it's the greatest bass.
Oh, there you go. It'll be better than your steak, my friend. Keith, safe travels to you, man. Be safe down there in Florida and all that stuff, man. Seriously, thanks for coming on with us. I know we'll check back with you probably later on in the NBA bubbleness.
All right, brother. All right.
Thanks, baby. Keith. Appreciate it.
Keith Pompey. I still don't have a problem with them celebrating Ben shooting threes.
You want to keep, Keith said, keep it normal. Well, if right. Your normal celebration when Josh Richardson makes a three is the same as when Ben Simmons makes a three, fine. I do agree with him that think about this. The reports are he was seeing a sports psychologist about shooting this shot. Mm-hmm. So it's a sensitive area. Mm-hmm. So you have to treat them the way you would treat everybody else. I think that's something you have to look at. Yeah, natural reaction. Yeah, Ben made a three. How about that? I hear you, but you have to be conscious of it because he is.
I'll say this much. When I look at Ben Simmons, I don't notice a difference ever in anything. Like, Ben Simmons to me is like a closer should be in baseball. Like, you have no conscience. Like, you could just, whatever the situation is, whether or not you're facing the first batter or whether or not you just walk the bases loaded, you should still have the same type of, like, look. Like, never a deer in headlights. Ben Simmons is just that guy. We've talked about it before. That, like, that silent assassin, man.
Yeah.
He's like a hitman. He just, like, there's no conscience he has, right? I can't tell if it bothers him.
But there's something there. I mean, if you're going to see somebody about you mentally not being able to get over a hurdle of shooting.
Right.
There's something there. He doesn't show it, but inside, you go deep inside.
Well, I know this. I know that in the past, there's been guys that have had trouble shooting. Not that they've been afraid to shoot or haven't wanted to shoot. They just haven't been good at it. And they've set them up with, like, the shot, like, with Herb McGee or whoever. And it was the team's idea to do that. It wasn't the player. Was it, do we know in the report if it's the team's idea to have Ben Simmons talk to a psychiatrist? Or
I don't
is it
know.
Ben Simmons' idea?
Well, yeah, LeBron did it. So I would imagine there was probably some conversations. They seem pretty tight with Rich Paul and the connection to Clutch Sports. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he talked to LeBron about it, because LeBron, after they lost to the Mavericks, went and saw a psychologist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good for him.
I really do love Ben Simmons' game, just overall. I mean, how could you not? The defense he plays, everything that he does.
Yeah. I'm incredibly impressed he took this step.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I watched the first game, as we all did. And other than that, in terms of a confidence to shoot from the outside, and this doesn't even mean he was going to do it, but you saw that in the first game, he let two threes just rip. And that's great. Like, in rhythm, no problem, right?
Yeah.
He made one of them great. Then I think it was the second game, he at least stood in the corner while Shake Milton was playing point. And while he was on the weak side, he put his arms up in the air like, hey, give me the ball. I'm open over here.
Notice that too.
Okay. And I'm like, okay, that's a good sign. He wants it there. That doesn't mean he was going to catch and release. He might have. But at least he wanted the ball in that spot. And he could either pump fake as a guy comes out or go to the rim, whatever it might be. But I thought, okay, at least he wanted the ball on the perimeter there in the corner for a corner three. If that's what he chose to do with it. But at least he wanted the ball there. The other thing I look at is, I watched that first game and I thought, again, I can't go back to it enough. The difference in quality of player you get with that one attribute, which is the most basic of them all, is so much higher than that perennial all-star. It goes from a perennial all-star, this guy will get voted in time and time again, to a guy that will compete for an MVP every single year. That's the difference in me. That I see in watching Ben Simmons, the outside shooter, that does everything else phenomenally well to an all-star level. That's the difference. That's the step. That's the step forward I see him taking in terms of status as an NBA player, all-star to MVP candidate. That's how much I think it raises his game when he adds that caveat.
By the way, Zach Lowe yesterday had him on his All-NBA first team defense.
Yeah, saw that.
Okay. Yeah, which is saying a lot.
I think it's worthy.
Zach probably talks to a lot of GMs around the league.
Mm-hmm. Certainly talked to Joel Embiid before the season.
Yeah.
Not going to talk trash. Not going to talk trash anymore. Yeah, sure you're not. Next thing you know, he's getting in a fight with Carl Anthony Towns.
But yeah, Sunday's going to be great. I can't wait to see how Ben attacks it.
Wait, Saturday?
Saturday's hockey, I thought. Saturday's Sixers.
Sunday's hockey. Yes.
Okay. So Saturday. Yes. Yeah. I can't wait to see how he attacks it.
Saturday night.
I want to see the aggressiveness again. I want to see game one, Ben, because that offense had a lot more movement to it. He showed a willingness from the outside. I want to see that.
Yeah, and it gets deeper if he doesn't start attempting some shots. It gets to the, this is what you guys wanted to hear. Boom, boom, I did it once. Screw it, I'm done. I'm going back to what I did before.
See, I was brought in. I was like, oh, look, he's doing it in the first game. Let me see it again. I haven't seen it again.
But, and you know what I liked about the first game also, besides the shooting, was you didn't see the jump in the air, have no idea what I'm going to do, pass out.
Right.
It crept in a little bit game two, and it was prominent in game three.
Okay.
And I was like, no.
But game three again. Game three, I can't say it enough. Game three of the warm-ups here was second half of the season, LSU, Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah. It was.
Is this over yet?
Yeah, he knew he had 15 minutes to play, whatever it was, and he played horrible. Mm. So that fed into, oh, my God, let me get off this floor. I just want to get off this floor. That's what he was basically saying.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation about Ben Simmons coming up in a minute here, and then we'll also talk to you a little bit about Lane Johnson and the impact this really does have on the grand scheme of things for the Eagles with him saying he's tested positive for coronavirus. Time of the Fanatic is 9:21.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, boys, think about it. By this time tomorrow, it'll be the new year. It'll be 2022.0. All right, we got our friends at Delilah's helping us out. We're going to have our own version of the Winter Classic.
Yeah, we are.
We got our friend Jackie Bam Bam, who's a mummer. He's going to be parading around.
Yeah, with Baby New Year, right?
With Baby New Year.
Huh.
Now, we've had a long list of auditions, really, applicants, if you will, that wanted to audition for Baby New Year. I think we found our Baby New Year, though. I think we're gonna announce that tomorrow. We hope to talk to a certain Philadelphia Flyer tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully that happens, so we'll preview some Flyer stuff as well. It's exciting. Tomorrow's going to be a very exciting day on this this program. Go to 975thefanatic.com right now because we also have a contest going on for you, the listener. Two ways we're doing this. We're doing a write-in sports solution, a New Year sports resolution. We're doing on 975thefanatic.com, to which you can win a great prize. Have you seen the McLaren? Have you seen the pictures?
I have, yes.
Of this automobile?
Oh, my God.
You get a 24-hour rental of a McLaren 570S convertible from our good friends at Imagine Lifestyles Luxury Rentals. Visit ImagineLifestyles.com. Then also tomorrow on the show, we're going to be giving away to people that call in to the program and give us their, we'll have a good gimmick to give us away. But we'll also have the Slingshot 24-hour rental, courtesy of Philadelphia Slingshot Rental. Visit PhillySlingshotRental.com. Those are those amazing-looking automobiles. I don't know. Is technical word automobile? I don't even know.
I don't know, but you see them more and more on the road anymore.
You really do. Those things are badass.
Yeah.
They got the one wheel in the front, the two wheels in the back. They look like a party is what they look like. I love those things. And we're going to give away a 24-hour rental of that. Plus, we got Hers potato chips giveaways. We got Miller High Life giveaways.
By the way, I just saw the Miller High Life coolers.
Yeah, they look cool.
I haven't seen it.
I am going to try and steal one.
Where
Gina apparently has got them in house today.
Damn, Gina, I haven't seen one.
Yeah, yeah, we're rushing to Gina right after the show.
Yeah, I want to gank one of those.
Gank?
Phenomenal. Yeah,
gank.
Phenomenal usage. Phenomenal usage of gank.
I probably won't, so we can give it away and do the right thing.
Well, maybe they have two.
Yeah.
Maybe they have two. So we got that. We're getting 40s tomorrow, fellas.
Yeah.
We're getting Miller High Life 40s, I believe.
I haven't had a 40 in a while.
There was a bar in Philly. I don't know if you could still do it. I don't know if it's still legal, but you used to be able to play Edward 40 Hands. You know what that is, Bob? Edward 40 Hands is where you duct tape 40s to both your hands, and there you go.
So you can, the goal is to drink it as quick as possible so you can pee. Because you can't pee if you have two 40s on your hands.
I mean, challenge accepted, but I understand. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, Edward 40 Hands.
Mm.
Don't drink and drive, kids. 610-632-0975. So tomorrow we'll be having our New Year's celebration. We also hope to have some great guests for you as well. Ian in Newark, what's going on there, Ian?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, the whole thing about Ben Simmons, man, I want to see him just shoot that foul line jumper. You ever watch when Chris Paul was a superstar? He always shot those jump shots. And if Simmons just shoots that shot, he had 12 points to his game.
Yeah,
the whole three...
I'll settle for this real quick. The analogy that I have always brought, I'll even take the Eric Snow 10 to 13 foot jumper.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of saying it. So that's the thing they try. So they want him to shoot the 3-point shot, but he won't even shoot the foul line jump shot. Because last year he come down, he did it this year. He turns around and throws the ball backwards. That's the most nauseating thing. I mean, look at the foul line shot. When he shoots foul shot, he's not a bad shooter. So if he just shoots those shots 6 times a game and goes 3 out of 6, he's adding 6 points to his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No, and Boz made the argument as well for foul shooting, and like you were mentioning there, even the jump shot from the foul line. Like that's exactly what can expand his game.
Yeah, and that's the most annoying thing about him. Like, I want to love Simmons, but when he doesn't shoot that shot, it's the most nauseating thing to watch basketball, like watch him play, because we all see it. That's the shot he's got to shoot. That's why I think Brett Brown's got to go. If he doesn't shoot that shot, I pull him out of the game, man, because it kills the Sixers. Because you gotta understand, he's 6'10". He can get that shot anytime he wants. So the whole 3-point shot thing is like, they even get that wrong, you know? So that's the most frustrating. And you're right about the Eric Stowe. If he just shoots it like Eric Stowe, he adds points. So that's a good point about that.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I think if you go Chris Paul, people go, oh, that analogy. No, I'm just looking for a basic thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to be that good at it.
Eric Snow would make the open ones.
He would make the open ones.
Yeah. Try it. And then, like I said the other day, he's getting so used to at this new 4 position of catching the ball with his back to the basket and then putting it on the floor and trying to back down with his back to the basket. Well, every once in a while, and this is a fundamental thing that I think Brett Brown and the other coaches need to teach him because he's not used to doing it, catch and turn. Catch and turn. Put the if you're backing me down, I don't care if you're 7'3". I'm going to forearm you and I'm going to try my best and whatever. You might win that game, but I know what you're doing. The other team knows what you're doing. If Ben Simmons at 6'10 can catch and turn and face the basket, okay, let me see a Chris Paul. Let me see a Doncic. Let me see those guys try to cover him then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It also gives you the ability to shoot that jump shot. If they back off of you and they're playing the drive, shoot that little 10-12 footer. I just don't understand their handling. They say they want him to do something, but they don't put him in the positions to do it a lot of times.
Maybe Brett Brown should wear sunglasses when he talks to him, like you are right now.
Yeah, I just felt like putting on some sunglasses. I don't know why.
I really can't take you
You can't take me seriously?
No, Pop Swap swagged us out yesterday.
I'm
just feeling it.
I am.
Come on, you know the rule about sunglasses inside.
Oh, it's my pet peeve.
Larry David has a great quote about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't really say it on air.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the people that get away, you can say it on air.
Yeah, blind people and bleeps.
Yeah.
Yes, those are the people that wear.
But when I was traveling and guys would wear sunglasses on airplane, oh my God.
They're hungover.
Or walk through the airport with sunglasses on, it drove me nuts.
I did that for a while. The sunglasses on the airplane because I didn't have the blind mask thing.
Right. Yeah.
But then what I started to do is I wouldn't fly without a hoodie. And I would flip the hoodie up over my eyes, pull the strings. It's like I'm in my own room.
Yeah, if you're sleeping, I understand it. But once you get up and leave the plane, like take the sunglasses off.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. And there's people, especially the people doing it in first class, like we know you're not famous. Like it's probably an upgrade you got. No one believes you. Is that just me? Okay, fine.
Do we always look down at people in first class?
Yeah. It's just human nature.
Oh, absolutely.
I used to feel guilty sitting there.
Because
I would know people were judging me.
Yeah,
for like, the last this slob. Like, what did he do?
My last 3 years covering the team because I had flown so much.
Oh, the upgrades were the best.
I mean, I was in first class more than I wasn't. Uh-huh. And
I
was like, are people looking at me the way I looked at them?
Yep, absolutely.
The minute you sit in first class,
you judge everyone you walk through.
You everyone judges you, and you judge them right back. Now, oftentimes,
I see some little kid, and you're like, mommy and daddy bought this for you, didn't they, you little punk? You don't even appreciate this.
Why don't you work hard?
Yeah,
man.
Get back and coach, kid.
Wow.
That's the line from Seinfeld. It's one of his greatest lines ever. The flight attendant, before they close the curtain, maybe if you looked a little... Damn it, I messed it up.
Try it again.
He looks at the stewardess is even out of style, right?
Flight attendant.
The flight attendant gives you that look before they close the curtain. Maybe if you would have worked a little harder. Closes the thing. But yeah, no. One of my proudest moments up there was 7 o'clock flight. I had a Jack Daniels.
And we used to fly together, Bob, so it would always be brutal if he would, because he'd have more miles than me because he'd been doing it for a couple more years. So right. If he got the upgrade and I didn't,
oh yeah,
that sucked.
It was a bloodbath. No, the guy next to me ordered an orange juice, and then the lady looks at me and goes, "What would you like?" Jack Daniels. Because I always told myself, you know what? One day you're going to be up there and you're going to want a drink.
It's free.
When you're back here, you want that drink.
Yeah.
So you got to. It'd be rude to say
no. You have
no.
to do it for all the people in coach. They got to pay.
I had plenty of Jack Daniels for the good people on the flight behind me. But the guy.
You're a giver.
I'm a member of the community, and I just try to support everybody.
And those ice cream sundaes they gave out were pretty top notch.
No joke. But anyway, again, it was free. So whatever. So the guy the next to me that ordered the orange juice goes, "Oh, you're having a Jack Daniels." Like, I didn't know this guy. And I was like, "Yeah, man, first class, bro." And he's like, "Change my orange juice to a mimosa." And I was like, "My man!" He was on a flight to Jamaica, as a matter of fact. He was connecting.
You got to have a drink on the way to Jamaica.
I was like, "Bro, I'm working today. Like, you're starting your vacation. I'm the one drink. Come on." Anyway, 610-6320. No, Bob?
Never drink when I fly. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's a weird Cooney fact.
Yeah. When I was
in first class? What about the people behind you?
Sorry. I did them a disservice, I guess. But
I sent people drinks back before.
I did want to do that a couple of times when I was on flights with people I knew when I was in first class, but I didn't.
Well, I did that because I'm a decent human being, Bob.
You are. I am not, on the other hand.
You got to think about the good people. Let's get to Brenton's back from New Cumberland. What's up, Brenton?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
I had a couple thoughts where I was ready to go until you guys started talking about blind people. I'm legally blind, so I totally lost my train of thought. I think you guys just get intimidated by the sunglasses thing because I can't see that much, but you just think I'm looking straight into your soul. I did call to talk about Ben Simmons.
Speaking of
things that a blind guy wants to see, not just anything, it is Ben Simmons' jump shot.
Well, wait, okay. Now, hold on a second. Just for the record, Brandon, we weren't talking about what blind people want to see. We were saying there's only a certain amount of people that can get away with wearing sunglasses inside that are not blind, and those are rock stars and douchebags.
Listen, I literally never thought I'd be able to throw myself to pity party on air about being blind. And the lag time between the radio and when I got put on hold, all I heard was my morning squad talking about blind people. And I said, "Oh God." I had to throw in my two cents.
Oh, and they're welcome, Brendan. Yeah, the floor is yours. Yeah. The floor is yours.
And, okay, well, I appreciate that. In all seriousness, if there is anything I could see, it would be life and Ben Simmons' jump shot. But in general, though, if he shot the ball, it would just open up the floor so much. I also think that if he just shot the ball at all, like you guys were comparing people what he would be like, Eric Snow. I was born in 94, so I didn't really watch Eric Snow play that much, but I feel like if Ben Simmons just shot the ball like Russell Westbrook does now, like he doesn't shoot a high percentage. He just is like, you have to respect him because he'll pull it off. He's not afraid. If Ben Simmons just had the same mentality as like a Westbrook, he might, people respect Westbrook, you know, they have to run out
right.
and put a hand up or he's going to take it to the, I feel like if he just shot it like Westbrook, and if Simmons shot 15% from three, that's better than the 0% that everybody thinks he's going to. You got to at least do it sometime. So
yeah,
that's what I got.
Brandon, hold on,
thanks, Brandon.
Before you go on, I just want to make sure I have your quote correct. You're a married man, no?
Oh, I am.
Okay,
I'm married. Yes, she married me. So I had a stroke last year. It was literally last year, last July. So that's when I can still see a little bit out of my right eye, but I'm technically legally blind now. So yeah, I wouldn't have been offended and stuff last year, but she married me after I went blind. So that's the best part.
Oh, well, that's beautiful. But I just want to make sure I have your quote correct. The two things that you would want to see as a blind, a legally blind man now are your wife and Ben Simmons' jump shot.
That's the truth. Yep.
In that order, I would assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I am not kidding you when I say this. That is the greatest quote that involves sports I think I've ever heard. That is just beautiful.
Well, so is your bald head, Wayne. I appreciate you.
Brenton, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Brenton's got a great attitude.
That's it. You know what? Everyone needs that kind of outlook. The two things that I want to see are my wife. As a blind man, the two things I want to see are my wife and Ben Simmons shoot a jumper. That is the greatest thing I think I've ever heard.
That's a pretty good line.
That is just fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. And like Bob, I don't think I'm hot take. I think it's a very reasonable request or a reasonable expectation. Ben Simmons with a jumper, a mid-range game even. Ben Simmons making more, having 80% free throw percentage. That jump in his game, I think that makes people look at him as opposed to just an all-star, From an all-star to an MVP candidate. That's what I think is holding him back.
Well, think about it. You brought up a line a little bit earlier saying guys coming out to get a shot, rushing out to him to get a hand on a jumper if he shoots it.
Yeah.
Okay, right now, every time Ben Simmons drives to the basket, he's driving against the defender that is playing him to drive to the basket. Right? Okay, every time.
Sure.
Every time. You develop a little bit of a jump shot. You know how much easier it is to drive on somebody when they're either anticipating you're going to shoot a jumper as opposed to, I can go over a drill with kids and I can say, I'll give a ball to a guy at 15 feet and I'll say, cover him. You're not allowed to take a jump shot. You have to take three dribbles and go to the basket or no more than three dribbles. Mm. You're going to get the defender's best defense of a guy driving to the basket. If I give the guy a ball and say he's either going to shoot a jumper or drive to the basket, it immediately puts you on your toes in a different way. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons going against a defender that doesn't know whether he's going to shoot or drive will give Ben Simmons an immediate, even more advantage than he has of being a 6'10 ball handler. Mm-hmm. Like, he could, it would just add so much to his game. You're right. Just in that little instance.
I just think about it like this. When I talk about Ben Simmons with people that aren't Sixers fans, I mean, oh, he can't shoot. But, you know, like, that's how they dismiss Ben Simmons. And it's like, well, what about all the other things he does phenomenally well? But again, that upping of his game, that improvement, that evolution of his game, I think would put him in the MVP conversation in the league because he's that great at everything else. And yeah, I mentioned earlier, I think it was the second game of the warm-ups here, where he was in the corner calling for the basketball. He didn't get it, but he was in the corner, wide open. And I'm thinking, he's either going to just let that rip if he gets the ball in his hands, or he's going to go to the basket. But you think about a lot of guys, when they're that wide open in the corner, what do you see? That pump fake, guy goes flying by, then they shoot the three and make it, right? Like, who's going to bite on a Ben Simmons pump fake at this point?
Nobody.
But we were debating last week whether or not you're actually getting out on him to guard him if he's on the perimeter.
Well, it was funny because when I was coming up and playing, it was never leave your feet on a jump shooter. Never, you know, you get a hand up, but don't leave your feet. And especially if you're running out on somebody, run out under control. You're going to play the dribble. You're going to give up the jump shot. Well, that changed with the 3-point shot. With the 3-point line, college coaches, I know, and pro coaches, they teach you to fly out at guys because you don't want to give up the three. You'd rather give up the two. Ben Simmons, you don't have to fly out after. But imagine if teams did have to fly out after him, it opens passing lanes, as you said, Mark, pump fake, dribble drives. There's so many different options you have just by being a little bit of a threat of shooting the ball.
Before we went to the break, we talked about Lane Johnson, but I did want to get this quote in here real quick from our friend. Where did it go here? Ryan Field, who tweets the show from time to time, he said, "Not a drink and fly guy, Bob. I haven't landed sober since I turned 21. That's the strategy to employ. As long as you're not, you know, landing and then getting in the car and driving, you know, taking a cab.
No, if you're traveling, yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And I just want to make that clear for the people that think we're not being responsible.
Oh, no. We're the most responsible morning show I know here.
Exactly.
Here at the station? Yeah.
Right here, right now.
Yeah. Right.
Until tomorrow.
On this side of the building. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
In this wing of the non-completed construction site that we are in.
Yes.
But here's the deal.
War zone, we call it.
When talking about Lane Johnson earlier, we talked about a concern that we have, a worry we have about what this could mean because it's just the start of everything. If the NFL can get the next couple of weeks underway, if the Eagles can get the next couple of weeks underway without something of a massive breakout, obviously, right? I feel very good of at least starting the season on time and finishing the season. But the bigger concern, the heightened concern, and I think it's even a little bit more of an oversight, a little bit by the NFL, is that guys have to opt out now, basically. They have, what, one more week to opt out?
I think so, yeah.
But they don't. And we talked about this with Brandon Lee Gowton yesterday at Bleeding Green Nation. They don't start hitting until the middle of August. So literally when things could start to get, when things get more physical and the odds go up a little bit of people contracting coronavirus because contact is going up, you can't opt out after that. So I guess it just seems a little odd to me that that's the timing of it. But I guess the NFL wanted you to make the decision. You're either in or you're out, because we need to know what we're doing with our rosters. So that's interesting. But if the NFL can just at least start on time and they get through the first couple of weeks on the season, I think the rest of the year will be good to go. But with things starting out the way they have with Lane Johnson, the silver lining in it is that it is one player testing positive and two more or less on the watch list. So at least there's that. Before we move into our takeaways of the day, once again, as you heard me mention earlier, tomorrow, big show tomorrow. Some great guests we have lined up for you and some great prizes to give away for our New Year's show for 2022.0. Our friends at Miller Lite are helping us out here. We got some great prizes there. Our friends at Yakabuchi Formalwear are hooking us up as well. YakabuchiTux.com. Make sure you check them out for some great stuff. We're going to be dressed to the nines tomorrow, as a matter of fact, folks. Delilah's is going to be held in our own version of the Winter Classic, so that'll be a good time. A little knee hockey.
Yeah.
Basically, so we're going to have our own hockey tournament, if you will. Our own little World Winter Classic. 9 o'clock. It's basically going to be a rush hour, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to sound off the new year at 9 o'clock. The ball will drop, as we say. We'll have some great guests. We'll have the girls from Delilah's playing hockey. We'll be dressed to the nines, like I said. You'll have a chance to win with your new year sports resolution, 24-hour rental from Imagine Lifestyles and McLaren 570S. You also have a chance to win the Slingshot 24-hour rental from Philly Slingshot. So we got some great stuff that we're giving away, including some stuff from Miller High Life as well. I am excited, Bob Cooney.
Can't wait.
Now, our Twitter poll today was more of a Twitter question. Pat, did you notice any patterns? Was it pretty much the standard starting five right now for
standard.
The Sixers? So nobody had Matisse Thybulle in the starting five?
Oh, a few people did.
Yeah,
how many people had Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick in there as well?
Oh, that's funny.
That was me.
Did you see? I don't know.
I can't get over it.
I don't know how old this was, but did you see Jimmy Butler fall out of a kayak?
No.
No, I missed that.
I was going to send it to you. But
he's probably paddling too hard.
I bet if he worked harder on his kayaking game, that wouldn't have happened.
Well, he's probably making kayaking a workout, because that's all he does.
Well, he did chop down the tree and then hobble out a log.
Yeah. So that's what I would expect.
Can joke because we need him.
Yeah.
Relax.
Twitter question brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Pat Egan, what's your takeaway of the day?
That even the blind people can see that Ben Simmons needs to shoot.
Wow.
Probably the greatest.
Legally blind.
Probably the greatest call we've gotten.
That was pretty good.
To the point where I actually messaged Twitch Ryan to get the Bob Cooney wearing sunglasses bit, and I said, "Hey, when it starts and when it ends, just send me that."
There you go.
And as soon as Brenton came on, I said, "Actually, get me that phone call as well."
Jamie Lynch.
Well, Bob, you were wondering where the expression "tickled pink" comes from. It's not the light stroking of the skin; it's the figurative sense of the word that means to give pleasure or to gratify. The tickling pink concept is of enjoyment, great enough to make the recipient glow with pleasure, and it dates back to early literature, as early as 1617.
Wow.
1617?
Yeah.
How about that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Bob Cooney?
I'm tickled pink today that I came in this morning, and how about our own Pat Egan? He got the lettuce cut. He's got the beard trimmed. He's ready to go for playoff hockey, yo.
I'm ready to go for New Year's 22.0.
He looks good, doesn't he?
I got my hair cut yesterday, and then I ran to get our suits right at Yakabuchi.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, yeah, we got to pick up our tuxes right after the show.
Yeah, they're in the boss's office.
Nice, I like it.
And they are awesome.
I mean, we're going to have to get up earlier tomorrow to get dressed to come to work.
Oh, probably.
You guys want a pregame at the Wawa in Belmont?
Hell yeah.
Ask adults to buy us cigarettes?
La Cologne coffees all around.
My takeaway of the day goes to our friend Brenton from Cumberland, New Cumberland. I'm blind, but if I could see two things, they'd be my wife and Ben Simmons' jump shot. Greatest thing I've ever heard in the history of anything. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show. Tomorrow we ring in the new year with 2022.0, with the Flyers and Sixers returning to 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.